around you. And you see, in our town, little town in northern Wisconsin, it was called Thorpe, Wisconsin. A lot of people called it Torp, Wisconsin, and it was only 1,500 people. That was it. So it was the size of Red Bluff High School, but that's a little larger, and everybody knew everyone. So when we decided to move here, everyone thinks that Red Bluff is so small, but yes, there's smaller towns than that. And my excitement for Red Bluff also came with fear and anxiousness. How was I ever going to get to know people in the city of Red Bluff that was 10 times bigger than the city that we came from? So God gave me a heart and a passion for our city, the people of Red Bluff, the northern region, to unite, to show God's love by serving our families and our local community, neighbors and coworkers. We love this community, and we will love, and we also love this church. Our whole family does. Anyways, my husband Luke has been preaching the last couple weeks about some of those answers in the sermon series, A Reason for Faith. Hopefully those talks have been helping each and every one of you grow and question how you're living your life and learning in the faith. Today we're going to take a break from that series because I wanted to share what's on my heart and some of the things that are important to where God is calling us as a church. So let me paint a picture of what kind of church we believe God has called us to be. I am an artist, kind of. So if you guys could just close your eyes, take a deep breath, and try to focus and relax. Let's try to catch the vision for the kind of church that we should be. So everyone take a deep breath, close your eyes, just relax. I promise I won't do anything weird up here. So imagine a church that is known for its love, a church that is generous, gracious, invulnerable, authentic, an experience to what being in a community is all about. Imagine a church that is able to help other churches start new churches and do missions work in other countries. So you can open up your eyes right now. And I'm sure everybody's picture is a little different in what that looks like. Did you catch that picture? This is the vision for our church. It's a beautiful picture of what it could be, a picture of possibilities and potential. But this vision only comes together as we fulfill our mission of knowing Jesus, and making him known. We even painted on the board, or on the wall. So it's there. It's what we believe in. It's in us, if you have been part of our church for a while. We have to be committed to the biblical mission and vision that God has for our church, our city, and our region. As many of you know, our church believes that the Holy Spirit guides us and speaks to us through the Bible. This is how we can know what we should believe in and how we should act. So if you have questions about how you're supposed to live, you can actually just go to the scriptures and they'll give you the answers. So before I share my heart on what is needed to see this vision become reality, let's read our passage of scripture this morning. And I'll be reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 20 through 28. And it's up here. You can get on your church or a Bible app or paperback, whatever you like. So then the mother of James and John, the son of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons. She knelt down respectfully to ask a favor. "What is your request?" he asked. She replied, "In your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in the place in honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left." But Jesus answered by saying to them, "You don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I am about to drink?" "Oh yes," they replied, "we are able." Jesus told them, "You will indeed drink from my bitter cup, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. My Father has prepared those places for one he has chosen." When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. But Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rules of this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came now to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. So when Jesus tells us why he came, why he was born, and he says that he came not to be served, but to serve, that just says it all. He came to serve. And while his greatest act of serving was to die on the cross for the people, his entire life was all about serving. He spent his entire ministry healing people, teaching people, feeding people, and doing everything he could do to serve people. Serving is foundational in Jesus' kingdom. When Jesus looks for leaders, he looks for servants. And when Jesus' followers make a difference in the world, they do it by serving. If you think about so many people that have influence, one key that picture that enters my mind is, what do they do for their community? And I think a lot of people, a lot of us feel that way. As Jesus points out, servant leaders is totally different than how most of the world's leaders lead today. So when I was 20 years old, I was an administrative assistant. It was one of my first real jobs. I was an administrative assistant for a general contractor in Michigan. That's where I grew up. This business was run by a successful husband and wife that couldn't be more polar opposite. John, the husband, he couldn't help but lord over me his strong authority. Has anybody worked for someone like that, where you're almost scared of them? And his wife was kind and patient and understanding. It was pretty interesting to see them work in their dynamics like that. One morning, John called me into his office to tell me how I was messing up on just taking messages. I would write their names. I would ask how to spell it, because he was very precise and persistent. But he didn't know how to pronounce it. So he would call me into his office one day, and he said, "You need to write how to pronounce the words too." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh!" It's like, you should know these people. By the end of the conversation, I was actually in tears, which doesn't take much. I cry on the spot of the hat. If that's a saying, I just made it up. Spot on a hat. And I felt like it could never amount to what he needed as an employee. So Jan, his wife, was very sensitive, so kind. She actually found out how he had treated me in this meeting. And I don't know what he said or what she said to him, but she called him into her office. And later on that day, he called me into his office, and I don't know what she said to him, but he did apologize to me, and he said it wasn't the first time that he had ever messed up with his employees, so please forgive him. And then he's like, "That's all, shoo shoo." So it's like Devil's Wears Prada, is that one of Wesley's favorite movies? That'll be all. Is that what she says? That was him. Nobody made any moves, so without him. And it was such a weird experience, but I remember the way he interacted with me. It was really aggressive and authoritative, and quite frankly, it was kind of oppressive. So this is not how Jesus says servant leaders are called to interact with others. In the kingdom, leadership is defined by servanthood. God gives people more influence based on how well they put the needs of others ahead of their own. So in this passage, Jesus makes it clear that he came to serve, and the rest of the Bible teaches that we're supposed to be just like Jesus, and that Christians should be known for their love, their grace, their mercy, and their willingness to serve others. I believe this so strongly that I think it has to be the foundation of this church that we are here today. So let's look at today's topics. There are five foundations of serving. And this is really dear to my heart. I love serving people, and my kids probably say I do too much. So we're going to think about five aspects of serving based off of Jesus' teaching that he came to serve, and we're supposed to follow his example. Church is about ministry, and ministry is about serving. Words like ministry can kind of be churchy. If you didn't grow up in the church, you probably don't even know what that means or what that looks like. It's just a word that Christians use to explain the types of programs or things that Jesus wants Christians to get involved in. Some of the ministries we have here at the Red Bluff Vineyard are programs for kids. And by the way, Nikki, our children's director, gave all of us treats for Halloween. So if you want to get involved, she is great at taking care of us. There's cookies in there too. Are they homemade? Oh, let's not go that far. Yeah, but it's just a great way to get involved if you like kids or want kids. And then there's youth group. There are so many different areas to get involved in our outreaches to the city. And ultimately, we want all of our ministries and our church programs to be about serving. Honestly, sometimes we can be so selfish that we don't even know what it means to serve. We forget that it's not all about us. Serving, and I define serving as an act of putting the needs of others before our own, and that's how Jesus lived his life. He put everybody's needs before his own. A couple weeks ago, Kim and Larry Kathman, they're two people from our church, gave our family a tortoise, which is actually one of my favorite pets. They're hippos and tortoises. And one of my daughters and I were so excited that we were going to have this pet in our home. Our family is in still debate of what to name it. Luke wants to name it some theologian name that I can't even pronounce. But Soren, our four-year-old, can pronounce it. I'm like, what's that name again? And he's like, Aquinas? Like, he wanted to name it Aquinas. And so all the kids and I, we call it Yoda. Soren calls him Mr. Master Yoda. So we got this tortoise, and while it can walk around our yard, we still needed to build an enclosure for it, and just to make him happy and have a good home. And at least someone needed to build an enclosure for it, and getting my husband to be home and long enough to build an enclosure, that would be a task in itself. So I'm going to tell you something about my husband right now that you can't repeat, and hopefully he's probably watching it Facebook Live. So just cover your ears, Luke. He is a great theologian, and we all know this that have encountered him. This week, he actually got invited to represent the entire Vineyard movement, all 3,000 churches, and discuss theology with the Roman Catholic theologians, a round table. And they got to discuss papers, and he asked me if I wanted to go, and I'm like, no, it does not sound fun to me at all. He talks to people about theology, and I fall asleep. So he speaks at conferences and coaches pastors and has influence in the church world, but he could not build an enclosure to save his life. So when we found out we were getting this family tortoise, I called Bill and Katie Knight, which a lot of people know, two of our church grandparents, and I asked them to help me to build this enclosure. Because if I knew Luke was going to build it, the doors would probably be open from the inside out, the hinges would be backwards, and the tortoise would probably die because there were so many nails in the enclosure. So Bill and Katie are two of the most servant-minded people I have ever met, and I'm sure other people have experiences from them. They are coming to the 11 o'clock, hopefully. Sorry. Many of the people in this community have been cared for by them. Their hearts are to serve people, and they have lived their lives as examples of Jesus over and over again. They put the needs of people in front of their own time and time again. They are all about serving because they are all about Jesus. And that brings me to our second point of foundation. One of the goals is to help people become more like Jesus, and you cannot be like Jesus unless you learn to be a servant. I don't want to belabor this point, but everything about Jesus' time on earth was connected to serving. And not only did Jesus serve, he invited his disciples to be just like him and to give their lives away, for the cause of this kingdom. To be like Jesus is to serve. Consider some of these important questions that we can ask ourselves when it comes to spiritual formation. Do our lives look like Jesus' life? Are we known for serving and putting others before ourselves? Amongst people, are you known for being quick to help out in situations? Do you volunteer in ways that help people and further God's mission? Just think about that. Reflect. Serving is a hallmark of Christianity. It's only when the church bands together that we can accomplish the vision that we have for our church community here. Remember that picture I painted earlier? And everybody's picture probably looks different. Our church is known for its love and for being generous and gracious and merciful and kind and willing to do stuff for God's kingdom. That's what our Red Bluff Vineyard is about. This is a place where people can connect and experience the community and make a difference in this world. This will only happen if we all make it a priority to serve others. And for that, there are so many ways to serve in our church and our local community that all the gifts and the passions that you have can be incorporated. Everybody has different gifts to offer. Serving opens people's hearts to God, and therefore serving is part of worship. A couple weeks ago, Luke and I were talking about how there are so many people in this community that inspire us because they are so giving. It's amazing. This isn't usual. Like, it's not normal, just how many people we have experienced, how many people are so giving of their time here. And actually, you're both encouraged that so many people in Red Bluff are so generous and compassionate and are willing to help people out. There are far more examples of love and kindness than we realize. So anyways, Luke was mentioning to me that someone really inspires him in our community is Terry Dean, and she's actually doing sound today. Terry serves on just about every team in our church. She helps run the sound booth so we can experience God's presence as we sing together, and worship was top-notch amazing this morning. She volunteers on the coffee team and works with our hospitality team, the greeters, making sure that everybody feels welcome when they come through our doors. She just serves and serves. So whenever we need help, or Luke puts something on Facebook and how you, like if we need a help with something, Terry shows up. So I asked Terry one day about serving and how it has affected her life as an act of worship, and she said this. For me, there is an unexplainable peace with the Father that I am in service to him and to others. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. Giving freely of my time fills my soul deeply with hope and light. I wonder how it could be considered anything else but worshiping Jesus when I say yes and fully serve in obedience and humility with the generous and kind spirit. So if you haven't had a chance to meet Terry Dean, I encourage you to do that because she is so giving, loving, and she just wants to help everybody out. So Terry worships God through her service and demonstrates obedience when she feels God is telling her to do something, and she's a great example of that. If we aren't serving or caring for others, it'll stunt the growth in our faith. And this is a tough statement, but it's true. It's really true. If we aren't serving, we're not living like Jesus. He's our first example of that. Spiritual growth happens when we serve other people. The founder of the Vineyard was a man named John Wimber, and in the early 1980s, his church grew from a handful of people to well over 5,000 people. As his church grew, it attracted all kinds of people from all walks of life, people with little or no church background, and people who had been in church for over 50 years. Now, even though John Wimber was a fantastic Bible teacher and was known for equipping thousands of people, every once in a while, someone would go up to him and start complaining about how they weren't really being fed by him. That his messages weren't helpful for them, and that they weren't growing spiritually. So you want to know what he told those people? He came up with a funny response that now is a popular Vineyard saying, and he said, "The meat is in the street." His point was that if you really want to grow and develop in your spiritual life, you have to get out of the church seat and get involved in serving people, especially in the community all around us. It's easy just to consume and consume, but that doesn't help us grow in our relationship with God or encourage the people around us. We have to live our faith out, and living out our faith requires that we sacrificially serve each other. And God calls us to serve in his ministry. Not only the pastors and the leaders of the church, but everybody gets to play. We say that all the time here. Everyone gets to play. Everyone has a part in it. Where do you want to get involved? So when Luke and I first started pastoring here, we introduced the coffee ministry before and during the services because a lot of research has showed that it is important to create a welcoming atmosphere for people. We want people to feel at home here. Sometimes there's nothing more welcoming than the smell of freshly brewed coffee. Amen? This is my third cup today, by the way. Go coffee team. But our church's pastors and leaders can't do everything, and it's a huge help that people volunteer and are part of our coffee team. We appreciate the coffee team as well as the sound team, all the teams. We appreciate them and all their hard work. The coffee team is a great place to get to serve and get involved on a Sunday morning. A shy person can get involved in the coffee team because it's in the back. You're behind the scenes, so it's okay. It's another place that they can help. And the church family, at the beginning of it was probably the first Sunday that Luke was here, he asked people to bring the ugly mugs in your kitchen cupboard that you never use. And we have all those cups now from people that donated it. Sometimes we are hesitant to step into areas where we just are not comfortable or the task seems too big. And we think there's no way that I could even lead a core group. That might be intimidating to some people. But we all need to start somewhere, even if it means that we bring an ugly mug to church and then get involved in the coffee team and volunteer with the kids ministry. The important thing is that we're serving. There's so many different ways to serve in your community as well as our church. So in conclusion, I want to encourage you to ask God to guide you as you grow in your faith. Ask God to show you how to become like Jesus, who was the greatest servant. Let's together ask God to challenge and guide each of us into new growth. Everyone's walk looks totally different, and that's okay. That's why we're all here. We're all different, and we come from different walks of life. And for those who are already engaged in serving, remember that the Bible says, "So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up." And that's found in Galatians 6:9. So if you guys could stand up with me, I'd like to pray with everyone. And if any part of this message spoke to you, we will have people that are willing to pray for you. If you want to step out of your comfort zone and get prayer and see what God has for you for today, get different ways to serve in this, in our church. So let's bow our heads. Lord, we just come to you today, and I thank you so much for each and every person that's here. No matter what age they are or what walk of life they have journeyed through or what they're going through right now, I pray that you'd speak to each and every person here, Lord. I pray that our hearts would be open to what you have for us today and how we can serve you better, Lord. We can be more like you. And I pray for just different ways and different areas that we feel like we need to serve in our church, as well as our community, with our neighbors, our family members, extended family, coworkers. I just pray for pictures, Lord, to come into each and every person's mind, Lord, and heart, and how we can be more like you. We thank you for speaking to us today, Lord. I just pray that you would breathe fresh, new life, Lord, into each and every person. And give them a vision that they can serve in their local community, Lord. If anyone feels it's kind of cheesy, but a tug in your heart or your mind, and you need some guidance, we just opened this up this morning too. If you want some prayer and you need a clear direction of where to go with a certain situation, we just ask that you can come up here safely, and it's a safe place. Church is supposed to be a safe place, and we just want to help you grow. And help you with your direction or your need. You're more than welcome to come up here. And I also pray for people's time, too. Time is essential in serving people. Maybe you don't feel like you have the time to add one more thing to your calendar. I just pray that God would give you time too, Lord, more time in your schedule to be open to that. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for just our church family, Lord. I pray that people that are new or have been coming here for years, I pray that they would feel loved and appreciated, and that you would just stir in their hearts if they need to serve in any capacity. And we thank you for this, and we give you all the glory, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Amen.